Might be really appropriate.
For NBA history, you got it! 14 threes in a game! Has never been done until tonight!
That's right, everybody. Welcome into Locked on Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Have a record-breaking episode for you today. That's right, it's all about Klay Thompson and the three-point record he broke last night. Even though that's the headliner, plenty of other things happened as well. Some news came out today about the future of one of their players also. Going to talk about all of that coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Warriors get the 149-124 win against the Chicago Bulls last night. But that wasn't the... I mean, look, it's nice. Take the win every time. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Klay Thompson and his explosion. His slump buster. His journey back to normalcy. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Is regression to the mean or progression to the mean? However it works when you're getting better. Klay dropped 52 points, was 18 of 29 from the field, 14 of 24 from three, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Two free throws, that's pretty good for Klay. He did have 5 rebounds. That's something I noticed last night in the middle of all this. He was aggressive on the boards. So obviously, the headliner here is Klay Thompson. And yes, the three-point record that he broke is the most grabby, telling stat for sure. And we'll definitely talk about that. But there's a lot more that goes with it also. Not to take credit or anything, because I get a ton of stuff wrong, and I know a lot of other people thought this too. It wasn't even that like original of a thought, because everyone thought this, but I think we all called it. When Klay's going to bust out of his slump, it's going to be epic. It's not going to be, oh, Klay went 3 for 4 from three tonight, like he's looking better. We knew it was going to be something like this. We knew it was going to be most likely a record-breaking night from three-point land, and that's exactly what he did. Just a quick aside, my favorite part of the night wasn't the 14th three-pointer or anything like that. It was actually when he hit his third in a row. He knocked down his first 3 three-pointers. He hit his third in a row. Chicago calls time, and him and the bench react like he had just broken the three-point record because, obviously, of his quote-unquote slump, you know. It was just awesome. It was fun. This team has a ton of fun, and the chemistry is obvious. It's visible. You can see it, you know? So that was great. I just wanted to put that out there because I thought it was hilarious and fun and just cool. Cool to see. I love that kind of stuff. Not that it means anything. Again, I'm never going to be like, oh, you know, Draymond and Klay, you know, got an argument over a missed defensive assignment. There must be trouble brewing there. Or see them be happy about something and say, you know, that's what makes this team the best in the league. It's just stuff I like to see personally. So, anyways, back to the game. Klay Thompson starts the game out really great. I mean, better than he has all year. And like we said and have been saying, that he's going to bust out of this slump eventually. But it went longer than any of us imagined. It was the longest streak in his career without hitting more than 1 3 in a game. In the first 7 games, he'd only hit one, at most, 1 3 in each of the games, and there were a couple games with none. So he comes out launching in the first quarter, and he didn't go straight for the three-pointers. He got it going through mid-range. I think he got a layup as well, and then he takes that first three and knocks it down, and that must have felt good. And then he knocks down the second one. That must have felt good too. And then the third, and everyone goes nuts. And it was awesome. It was a ton of fun. He ends the first quarter going 6 of 7 from three. I think he had 22 points in the first quarter, I believe. And that's the, fourth quarter that a Warrior has had, the fourth 20-point quarter this early in the season for the Golden State Warriors. Steph has two of them. KD has the 25-pointer against New York. And now Klay. So once that happened, I mean, once he hit the first three, you knew what was going on, that the Warriors were going to continue to look for him. And especially if he kept hitting, they're going to continue to look for him. And on this night, you know what happened? He kept hitting them. So it was Klay's night, and everyone knew it. And I think the best part is, even though they were forcing it throughout the game, especially later in the third, really trying for the record, is they weren't forced shots. Like, they were going for, they were obviously looking for Klay every single time. But Klay was getting open looks. And, I mean, that probably speaks to how bad the Bulls' defense is, because it's terrible, and they looked kind of indifferent at times, honestly. But it wasn't one of these situations like, I think it was, I mean, in each of his other huge performances, the 60-point game and the 37 points in the quarter, there were a couple of terrible shots that he took that just went in. And there weren't really any of those in this game. If there were, it was a few. Like, honestly, 80% of those shots he took, 80% of those 24 threes were good looks. They were all good looks. And shame on the Bulls, man. It was ugly. It was ugly. But a couple of the stats that came from last night, the only one other time has an NBA player scored 50-plus in less than 30 minutes. And the other time, that was Klay Thompson scoring 60. We've talked about it before. This guy goes, when he's hot, it's a different level of hot. He goes nuclear. He can put together games like this that other players can't. It's pretty incredible to see, to be a part of, all of that stuff. And not to mention a great end to a road trip, you know? And they're what, 7-1 too? I mean, it's all deadly right now. A couple other notes from last night's game. As I mentioned, Klay, 22 points in the first quarter, 6 of 7 from 3. He had 36 in the first half and was 10 of 14 on threes. Oh, by the way, Warriors scored 92 in the first half. 92 points in the first half. Again, it's the Bulls, and the Bulls were playing some terrible, terrible defense. But it's not up to the Warriors to make the other team play better defense. You know, they're just out there to play basketball, and that's what they did. 92 points in the first half. For a couple reference points, the Ringer tweeted this out last night. Blazers and Pacers in the fourth quarter, it was Blazers 93, Pacers 85. Hawks 91, Sixers 111 in the fourth, Kings 87, Heat 74 in the third, Nets 57, Knicks 75 in the third. At half, Warriors were up 92 to 50. So, pretty good day. Pretty good day. I don't think any Warriors fans, and, you know, Warriors fans, let me know if you are part of this contingent. I am not, that get upset when Steve Kerr pulls players for the fourth quarter when the team's up 42 at halftime. Like, come on. When Steph had the 51-point game, people were like, oh, why didn't he put him back in the fourth quarter? Because they were up like 15 going into the fourth quarter, and the normal rotation is Steph doesn't come in until 6 minutes left in the game, usually, when they were up like 30. Like, I have no problem with when Steve pulls the plug. Now, I will say this, these three-point records would have been beaten a lot sooner if, you know, Steve let him play, because usually what happens is once they get up to 10, 11, 12 threes, that usually means the team's up by 20, 30 points. So I have no problem with it. I have no problem with Steve pulling Klay, you know, at what, 4 minutes left in the third. And that's also why he was launching so many in the third, trying to get that record. Funny thing happened late in the third as Klay knocked down his 11th and 12th threes. He and Damian Jones bumped heads. They ran into each other, and Klay got a cut on his head. And they tried to patch it up but it kept bleeding, so he eventually put on a headband to cover up the cut. And it didn't look right. It was pretty funny. He looked like the guy that shows up to, you know, open gym with all the gear and the headband and stuff, and you're like, who is this clown? That's what he looked like. Not going to lie. But here's what Clay had to say about his headband.
Like the headband look?
I do. I look like Jackie Moon out there. So I was feeling good, and he's one of my favorite characters in all sports movies, so that's probably why I broke the record.
Little media laugh on the back end there. Great pull from Clay there also. Big Jackie Moon guy. Love semi-pro. Shout out, Clay. Here's what else Clay had to say on his record-breaking three-point night. And the former holder of that three-point record, Steph Curry.
I believe I don't know if I would be able to break these records I have gotten in my past, just like tonight, without the system I play in or the team I'm with or the guys I play with, because you know, they knew even before I went out for the second half, Steph looked at the box score and said, go get it. And that just shows you the unselfishness that isn't within him. Same with, you know, KD and Draymond and DJ and everyone else that was out there on the floor trying to find me and get me good looks.
What was that lead up like? Because I think like Steph tried to pass to you twice and Draymond and Kevin.
I might have forced a few bad shots, but I was just so anxious because anytime there's an NBA record at stake, you kind of get a little nervous. And I'm just so blessed to be able to play with the guys I do. And it was an amazing night. I hopefully never forget.
Clay brought up the system he plays in, which obviously is huge. And his teammates, guys like Steph Curry, who are incredibly unselfish and encouraging when something like this comes up. Not only was he pushing Clay to break his own single game 3-point record, he also willingly gave up his ongoing record of games with making five threes, which was up to seven. Steph went 2 of 4 from three last night. He didn't even make an effort to get take five threes, let alone make them. So his streak is snapped, but he's happy to do it because he's Steph Curry, one of the best teammates around, best basketball players, period. Here's what Steph had to say about Clay's record-breaking night.
Realistically, how high do you think this record could go? I mean, you took it to 13, he took it to 14. What's a realistic ceiling on that record?
I don't know. Clay got 24 of them, and 20 of them were great shots. So it could have been higher. Obviously, the game was a little closer. Maybe he'll play a little bit more. But it seems like when we break these records, things go so well that you don't see the full 48 minutes. But I have no idea. No, it's trending a certain direction, but there's a reason certain guys are pushing the record, because it takes talent. It takes a certain skill set that is not as everyday as you might think. But yeah, that's why Clay had the reaction, because he knows how hard it is and why it's so special for him. So it's pretty dope.
And if anyone understands how special a night of breaking records can be, it's Steph Curry. He also mentioned what I mentioned earlier, that part of it is, well, two of the things. One, that Clay was getting up great shots. 20 of those threes were great looks, great shots. He wasn't forcing much. And then also, the fact that when they get close to breaking these records, they're usually up by a ton and don't really get to play an entire game. When Steph broke scored the 13, that was during a game when he did play in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, Clay's a different animal. When he gets hot, it's a completely different level. KD also chimed in on the situation. Here's what he had to say about Clay's record-breaking night.
It's a great moment. It's great to be a part of it. It's great to see Steph break the record first 2 years ago and then see Clay break it. I mean, it's only fitting that those two hold the records, you know, hold the most three-point shots in the game. So, best shooters to ever walk the earth. And probably nobody ever shoot like those two ever again.
Not only that, KD also had a little opinion on Clay's headband look.
What did you think of the headband look he was rocking?
Yeah, I don't know. He looked kind of weak with the headband. Like he doesn't belong in the NBA if he was just walking out of the huddle and you never know who he was. He looks trash. But you look at that scoreboard and see 52 up there and he walking out with 5 minutes to go in the third. It was just ridiculous, man. It's unreal how he can shoot the basketball, how he can move without it, and how he sets his feet so quick, man. That's just an ultimate skill. Somebody put in 10,000 hours to do that, and not a lot of people got that much patience and time to work on stuff like that.
KD and I kind of on the same page as far as the headband look goes, but it worked, all right? It worked, and it's kind of hilarious to, in the future, when we look back on this game and the record-breaking three-point performance, when we see him in the first, we see the first 12 threes he knocks down, and then the 13th and 14th, he's got some goofy headband on. It's just, couldn't be more Clay. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And on a side note, I think the best part is he's going to keep the beard. After a breakout like this, he doesn't have to shave the beard. He said he was thinking about it. He was on SportsCenter last night, said he was thinking about cutting the beard, you know, as professional athletes do, superstitious. If things aren't working, you got to change something. And it's usually your facial hair. But we got the beard for another day, you guys, so we're good. We can all relax. Steve Kerr also had probably one of my favorite responses. He was asked about when he decided that Clay would go after the record, and I'm sure you can imagine Steve wasn't the one to make that call.
When did you start, you know, kind of having you guys search for Clay to get the record?
You think I did that? That was not not my choice. I didn't even realize what was happening record-wise until they called a timeout. He had made a couple in the second half, and I heard Clay saying, two more. And that's when I realized, and I didn't even know who had the record, and so I asked Steph, I go, do you have the record? He goes, yeah. And so I'm a little slow on the uptake on some of this stuff. I'm worried about the rest of the game, but, you know, at that point, the guys were just feeding him every time, and that's, you know, I think that's how much they care about Clay, and they all, you know, felt for him because he's had a rough start to the season, and obviously, you know, he got it going tonight, to say the least.
I don't know why I love that so much, but especially the part where Steve doesn't realize about the record and just asks one of Clay's teammates, wait, do you have the record? Ask Steph, and Steph's just like, yeah. I don't know why that's so cool to me. I love that. In my opinion, I don't know. You know, look, Steve, he's still not 100% healthy. He still has problems with his back, not to the point that he used to, but there are good days and there are bad days still, and maybe it was a bad day, but Steve didn't seem to love last night, because part of it also is he's such a basketball purist. Like, when they really start going off and, like, looking for Clay every single possession, I don't think Steve loves that stuff, but who knows? That's just me editorializing. What do I know? You know, nothing really. So maybe Steve loved it more than anything. But I just love that quote. I thought it was hilarious. A couple last notes for this game from Clay. He bumped his three-point average up from 14% coming into the night. He's up to 32%. That's a nice bump. That's a solid bump. He was averaging 15 points a game last night, leaving last night, 19.8. So Clay's going to be just fine. He's going to be just fine. As great as last night was, now the question is moving forward. He's got to continue this. I mean, obviously, not going 14 to 24 or shooting 60% from three, but is he back to being normal Clay now? Like, that's the thing that has to happen now. Last night was great, and it feels like the slump's over and he completely broke it. But now, let's continue the momentum. Let's keep this good stuff moving forward. Steve also mentioned that, you know, the teammates were so happy for him and stuff. And they were. I mean, if you guys aren't following them on Instagram or Twitter, I would suggest you do, because it was just an outpouring of love and congratulations for Clay, not just from teammates, from former teammates as well. JaVale McGee is taking credit for last night's game because Clay grew a beard and then wore a headband, stealing JaVale's look. So congrats, JaVale McGee. It was just one of those really fun nights and nights you appreciate being a fan of the Warriors and really appreciate this team. And if you placed a bet last night on how many threes Klay Thompson was going to make, I hope you took the over, because ever since I started doing this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what to bet on, who to bet on this week. Truth is, I don't know who's going to win or what's going to happen. I mean, I did call Klay Thompson exploding. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are the best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is really easy to use. Lay down some cash, win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and trust me, they've been good to me. Part of that's because I win. That's a lie. I lose a lot, but it's still good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Hope you took the over on Klay Thompson last night, fantasy guys. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code ENTERLOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. And once again, MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. Go to MyBookie, guys, and start making some money today. Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Just went over Klay Thompson's big night. It was all about Klay, really, which is understandable. I just want to throw some other notes out there about last night's game. But first, this was from Kareth Burke last night. Klay Thompson carried the game ball around in his hands as he did extra post-game interviews. Told me he's going to frame it, and if his record for 14 threes is broken, he'll take the ball out and play with it or give it to Rocco. Good on you, Klay. I mean, the guy's hilarious. That works, Klay. Yeah, do that. I also just wanted to play all that sound for you guys because it was such a big night. I thought it was pertinent, especially with Steph doing what he did to help Klay get going. You know, just a really unselfish move from Klay, or excuse me, from Steph to want Klay to break his own record and then also snap Steph's record streak of five threes in a game. So on to the other players, and I'll tell you what, you guys have heard me praise Alphonso McKinney so far, and for good reason. If it wasn't for Klay going for 51 and breaking the record, we'd be talking about Alphonso McKinney today. So I'm going to spend just a little time doing that right now. First double-double of his career, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 5 of them were offensive. The guy's an offensive rebounding fiend. He's great at it. 1 assist, 1 block. The kid is nice. The kid is nice, man. He is a major surprise. And one of the biggest surprises is he wasn't doing this in preseason. He was fine in preseason, but he wasn't knocking down threes like he is now. Went 4 for 4 to start the game from 3. Huge. 4 for 6 4 for 6 for the game. He has been a revelation for the Warriors. And such a great find. And Steve Kerr's even mentioned, yeah, I'm surprised that he's played this well. You know, I am proud of him, like him a lot, want him on this team, all those things. But yeah, am I surprised that he's doing what he's doing? Absolutely. I am too. I mean, Alphonso McKinney, shout out him. I hope he keeps it up because he'd be such a huge find for the Warriors and at a reasonable price, so to speak, as far as NBA contracts are concerned, because he's making the minimum. And they have him signed to next year also. So hopefully this is more than just a hot start. But for a guy who went to, you know, 2 different colleges, played in Luxembourg and Mexico and paid for his own G League tryout and, you know, was the – look, honestly, in preseason this year when I looked at the training camp rosters, the only thing that stood out, 6'8", 215, right on. I knew nothing about him. I knew, you know, it was a long shot for him to make the team. But sure enough, he made the team, and as far as I'm concerned, he has locked down a rotation spot, no question. He also might have taken someone else's spot, which I'm going to talk about in a second. Jonas Jerebko is just freaking solid. I can't praise him enough. He's another guy who was sloppy during the preseason. I did not expect this out of him either. 2 for 2 from 3 last night, 4 for 4 from the field, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He's just been really good. There's only so much I can say. One of his threes was just a heave at the – it was kind of messed up. KD is draining out the shot clock. He goes up for three. The ball squirts out of his hand. And so then he just throws it to Jerebko with like 1.5 seconds left. And Jerebko just tosses up a prayer, knocks it down. He's been really good. I mean, he also knocked down another buzzer beater at the end of the third. He's good. There's only so much – yeah, I don't know. The fact he's knocking down threes at this rate and rebounding at this rate, he's a real power forward. We talk about stretch fours, and that's technically what he is. But a lot of times when you talk about a stretch four, you don't get some of the other aspects of a traditional power forward. With Jonas Jerebko, we're getting that. The guy's a great rebounder, great hustle, very physical. A lot more physical than I would have imagined. Oh, by the way, he's a 40% three-point shooter. Could not be happier with the acquisition of Jonas Jerebko. Damian Jones, another rough game for Damian Jones, but it happens. He, you know, was still able to get a steal, couple rebounds. He did only play 14 minutes. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's going to have bad games. He's going to have good games. He's going to have bad games. Oh, well. Quinn Cook, you know, he was able to get it going in garbage time, which is good to see because I do think he can contribute when they need him to, especially shooting-wise. Still kind of not great from three so far this year, but I'm sure he'll get it going. Jacob Evans. Ugh. He got 16 minutes, mostly garbage time, one rebound, two assists, and that's it. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see because it's not happening yet. Solid defender. He is a good defender. He does not make many mistakes. He just doesn't hit shots. He just can't really do anything with the ball in his hand, which is too bad because they need him to do something, and he hasn't quite been doing that. The rest of it was really garbage time playing, nothing too great. But, yeah, Alphonso McKinney would and should be the headliner if it wasn't for Klay Thompson doing what he did. Warriors take on the Pelicans on Wednesday, and they also re-signed someone, technically, for next year. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back in to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what up? A couple things I wanted to talk about real quick before we wrap this thing up. Damian Jones, his fourth-year option, has been picked up by the Warriors. As I've said before, it just makes sense. He's shown flashes of being a solid player. He's also had some bad games, but the bottom line is it's a cheap $2.3 million deal. Yes, you could technically, potentially get someone for cheaper, but at the same time, that's not a guarantee. So you might as well hang on to him, which they did, and I think it's the right call. I think it's the right call. You don't know if you can replace him. And I also have failed to mention this. Jordan Bell, restricted free agent after this year. Kevon Looney, unrestricted free agent after this year. DeMarcus Cousins, unrestricted free agent after this year. So if they didn't pick up that fourth-year option, they would have no centers under contract. Which, yeah, I'm sure they could find one. But at the same time, why even risk it? Why even risk it? And a guy, Damian Jones, is a guy that you've invested a draft pick in. You've invested 2 years of development in. At the end of this year, it'll be 3 years. So why not pick him up? It makes sense. And then last thing, I was talking about Alphonso McKinney and how good he's been, and it just made me think of Pat McCaw and how Alphonso's basically taken his spot. He has completely wrestled that spot away from him, and it's because there's been zero resistance from Pat because he hasn't been there. But like, if Pat comes back, he's not ahead of Alphonso McKinney right now. McKinney's getting those minutes. And it just made me think, as I've talked about it before, and just this weird, terrible decision on Pat's part, I hope everything's all right with him. You know, we talk about it in a certain way, how stupid it is, because it is, but at the same time, I just hope, I don't know, I hope he's okay, because he honestly might be squandering his NBA career right now. If you're not willing to play for the Warriors, why would another team want? And apparently it looks like no other teams have wanted him, because they could make him an offer. They could sign him to an offer sheet, and no one has. And you've also put yourself out there as, oh, I'm not getting enough playing time. I'm not getting what I get, getting to do what I want to do. and I've proved to be an average player in my best of times, like, why would another team want to take that on? So I just hope everything's all right with him. I hope it's okay. I don't know. I just sometimes feel like I need to take a more humane look at things, and that's kind of how it is with Pat right now, because I just don't know what's happening. I hope he's all right. I hope everything's all right. Anyways, come back tomorrow. Warriors taking on Pelicans tomorrow. We'll break that down a little bit, and as the NBA goes, I'm sure we'll have a ton of news or jokes or something to cover. Something crazy on social media will most likely happen. Real quick, my picks for tonight for you to watch League Pass picks. We got Portland and Houston and the Clippers and OKC. Check those out to me. Those are going to be the best games tonight. So watch them. I'm definitely going to watch them. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.